Listen to WGN Radio's newest podcast, Behind the Badge, Illinois, hosted by David Hochberg. Behind the Badge, Illinois views current events through the eyes of Illinois law enforcement leaders. Tune in. Visit WGNradio.com/behind the badge.
Dr. Jeffrey Copen is the Chief Medical Officer at Northwestern Medicine Lake Forest Hospital, and he joins us now. Doctor, welcome.
Thank you, Stephen. When you buy that house in Lake Forest, please invite me over to visit.
Oh, I'm sure you were a guest of the Fields many times.
Many times.
So, I like to do this show with a smile, but there's not a lot to smile about right now with these numbers. Where are we? I mean, it looks as if we're going to be worse than we were in the spring pretty soon.
Yeah, I think, unfortunately, we're there. IDPH announced that we now have a record number of hospitalizations from COVID in the state. We surpassed the high point from back in April. So that obviously is concerning. And today, IDPH announced that this was the sixth straight day of more than 10,000 new cases. So that's troubling.
I think
as well.
The death number today, too, is the highest it's been since either early June or May. So,
May 27th.
But you know, I don't feel the urgency now that I felt back then. I'm speaking for myself, but I think I'm speaking for a lot of people. We're not as afraid as we were. I don't know if that's a good thing or a bad thing.
Yeah, I think a lot of it's human nature, isn't it? When something's new and scary, well, we're going to hunker down to protect ourselves. But with time, we start to adjust to whatever the new scary thing is. And I think that's what's happened with COVID. People still are out and about doing things that I think even the people who are doing them know they really shouldn't be doing. I was reading in the newspaper today about the number of house parties that have been identified in the area, or people renting hotel rooms and then having parties of right. 80 or 90 people. That's very concerning when we see that, because we know putting a large number of people into a small area, into a small room, is exactly how this virus likes to spread. And from that, we get these so-called super spreader events, which the epidemiologists believe account for the vast majority of the cases spreading throughout our community.
So what do you make of restaurants? I got a couple of bits of information here. There's a new group called the Chicago Restaurants Committee, and they filed a Freedom of Information request with the city to get some numbers on the city's data. They say there are about 70,000 restaurant workers. About 300 of them have tested positive for COVID in the period of June 1st to September 15th. They say of the, let me just find it here. They were able to case study or contact trace about 8,000 cases of COVID-19. Only 585 of those 8,000 had been to a restaurant a week or two before. And that comes in conjunction with the study published in Nature today that Northwestern was part of. And they talked about the importance of mitigating when it comes to restaurants, but it looked at closing restaurants to a limited capacity, maybe 20% or so, in order to preserve the business. What do you make of all of that?
Boy, this is, yeah, I've been
take all the time
the
you need, Doctor.
Back in March.
Yeah.
Yeah. Every day we're learning new things, right? I mean, if we all think back to March and April and what we thought we understood about COVID-19 as a respiratory virus, I think we all would have to admit so much of what we thought was a fact turned out not to be, right? We were surprised time after time after time. That's very troubling. And I think this restaurant thing, Steve, is going to be one of those areas where it's going to take quite a while to figure out what the real facts are regarding transmission in restaurants. I certainly understand why the restaurant owners would like to see the data that prompts our various health departments to make the conclusions that they do that close down their places of business. I would say that the Nature article that you quoted, the authors are from Stanford, some computer scientists at Sanford, and then from our Northwestern Department of Preventive Health and Department of Sociology. It's an amazing study. I don't know how much you've talked about this, but they took cell phone data that's available through a certain company, and it's millions and millions of hours of the movement of all of us, of people in, I think it was 10 metropolitan areas, and they overlaid that movement with where we know infections occurred. And that's where they came to these conclusions that you're talking about.
Right. But even with those conclusions, and maybe this is the author of the story and not the author of the study making assumptions, but it still seems to advocate for keeping restaurants open at a lower level. Am I reading that wrong? Or
No, correct. I've actually read this study. I haven't spoken to the authors, but I've actually read this study. Uh-huh. It's fascinating. What they're saying is by keeping the capacity of a restaurant, they said they ran their simulation at 20%. They were able to dramatically cut the amount of transmission that occurred in restaurants compared to what was going on when the restaurants were operating at full capacity. And I'm sure we're going to be hearing from the Restaurant Owner Association a lot about that. I think we're going to need to understand more from the authors of the study what exactly the simulation means. Steve, I would add one thing to this. When we close restaurants and we close bars, which makes sense, I understand why the departments of health do this. What do people do? Again, it's human nature.
Right. They rent a hotel room.
Right. They congregate in other places, including homes. And this is something that, we, all of us, as the residents of our communities, need to be thinking about. Do we really want to be doing that right now when the amount of COVID continues to rise? And we have every reason to believe that unless we change our behavior, there's going to be more and more COVID out there, and that's going to be a problem.
Yeah, I'm not being critical of the governor or the mayor or anyone, because it's a huge responsibility, and you're right. To coin a phrase of Donald Rumsfeld's, we don't even know what we don't know at this point. Okay, the governor said something today, and I don't understand this. I don't think this is correct, but you tell me. In Iowa, the positivity rate is now 48%, which is just unbelievable, 48%. So the governor said that means that one out of every two people you come across has the virus. That's not quite correct, isn't it? And this is of people who are tested, which is a smaller population than the general population. Am I correct or incorrect?
No, you're correct.
Okay. So it's not quite as bad as
we. I don't know enough about the testing regimen in Iowa, but what that's telling us is the people they tested, for whatever reason they were tested, it was 48% positive.
Okay, right. All right. So Thanksgiving around the corner, are you going to celebrate?
Of course. Wouldn't miss it, but I'm not going to celebrate with the extended family.
Just small, immediate family.
Yeah, I think we're going to have seven. This is immediate family. My wife, my mom, my brother-in-law, my daughter, son-in-law, and their baby, we're together all the time. That's going to be our Thanksgiving. It's not going to be bigger than that. And I think that would be my recommendation to everybody. Small units of people that you're with. This is not the year to have the extended family getting together. Frankly, it's just too dangerous.
Yeah, next year maybe. And Christmas doesn't look so good either, does it, Doctor?
No, unfortunately not. I think we all need to be thinking about Thanksgiving, Christmas, how we're going to handle them responsibly and safely. I know there's a tendency everybody's going to think it's not going to happen to me. I will tell you, with my own patient population, I'm an internal medicine physician, as well as being the chief medical officer. We're seeing it now among my patients in a way that we didn't back in April and May. This virus doesn't care who you are. It really doesn't. It's a really smart but very dumb piece of genetic material. And if you come in contact with a lot of it, you're going to get infected with this. And that's not something that we want to happen.
Dr. Jeffrey Copen, the chief medical officer at Northwestern Medicine, Lake Forest Hospital. Listen, I hope that you, with your immediate family, have a fantastic Thanksgiving. I look forward to the next time we can talk.
Yeah, Steve, me too. And take care.
You're listening to Chicago's Afternoon News here on 720 WGN.